Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. On 44208-601-4555, you call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your TV set has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show on 4478-00-8066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu, the serial killer, otherwise known as the Prime Minister of what they call Israel, has scraped home with the slimmest of margins. Just two of a majority in the new Knesset, the parliament of what they call Israel. Him and his ultra-right ally, Lieberman, got 31 votes, 31 seats rather, down 11 seats from what they had in the previous Knesset. So much for all his boasting about how he was going to attack Iran, how he was going to pave the West Bank, the occupied Palestinian territories on the West Bank of the River Jordan, how he was Mr. Iron Man, going to tell the US president what to do, even though the US president pays for everything that he does. Well, it's an interesting situation now. We have President Obama in the second term, no longer in need of any support from any lobby, let alone the Israel lobby, and a prime minister of so-called Israel with the very weakest of mandates. Not that the other parties that were elected to the Knesset are very much better, if better at all, than Netanyahu. But now Zionism is in total crisis. That's why I wondered when I saw the news of the cold-blooded murder of a 21-year-old politics student, Lubna Hanash, shot in the head by Israeli soldiers in Hebron yesterday. I wondered if that was going to be the spark for a third Palestinian intifada. Certainly, the conditions appear perfect for the Palestinian people to rise up in the West Bank, to join their brethren in the besieged Gaza and fight back against this weakest of all Israeli governments. A peaceful uprising, an unarmed uprising, an intifada would focus the attention of the world upon the continuing misery of the Palestinian people and those responsible for it. Well, that's my point of view. Let me hear what yours is on that. Israel, Palestine is the first of the subjects we're talking about this evening. The Crusader invasion of Mali is the second. It's going well, isn't it? So well, the French government has banned its own journalists from reporting on it from the front line. The British government, which is in joint partnership with the French, an Anglo-French new scramble for Africa, the British government has had to come to terms with not only the loss of several British citizens in the hostage situation in Algeria, but this very evening, the Foreign Office in London has ordered British nationals to flee the capital of Free Libya, next door to Mali. They say there are only a few dozen. I don't care how many there are. It's another indication of how the British government, by joining the hated of the earth, has made our own citizens and our own interests in grave jeopardy. So grave that they're now scrambling out of Benghazi. You remember Benghazi? That was the place we were told was going to be the crucible of the new free and democratic Libya. Don't make me laugh, because I might cry instead. In Yemen, the drone killings go on. Another US Obama, I have a drone, mass murder in Yemen today. The drones are continuing to kill women, children, men. Of course, like Prince Harry, a prince apparently of the royal blood, it's just a way of taking figures out of the game. It's a bit like a video game, you see. Indeed, Prince Harry just explained to us that he's good at taking Afghans out of the game because, hey, as a teenager, he had a PlayStation and he was good at these computer games. Of course, he doesn't know that the people that he's boasting that he killed were Taliban. He just knows they're dead Afghans. If they're dead, they must be Taliban. And if they're survivors, they must be civilians. That's the view of the rulers who send in the drones. We'll be asking you what your point of view is. Of course, as ever, these are my own opinions. They're not the opinions of Press TV, still less are they opinions of any government or anyone else other than me. The first caller on the line is one of the best callers in recent years. He's in Canada. He's Gary, and he wants to talk about these subjects. Gary, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. How do you see it? How do you see the world this evening?
Well, we have an embarrassment of riches.
We do. We do. We could run this program for the rest of the night.
I don't know what's more bizarre. Prince Harry announcing that he's indeed a serial killer.
Yeah.
Or this situation in Palestine where it is so ripe for a complete uprising before the Netanyahu cabinet can even be formed.
Yeah. And by the way, I believe it would exhaust Netanyahu very, very quickly. You saw the morale of the so-called Israel Defense Force in the recent attack on Gaza. They mustered 90,000 soldiers, but they didn't have the guts to step 1 meter inside the Gaza Strip. Imagine if hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in the West Bank and Jerusalem were now to rise up in the Third Intifada. I don't believe that Israel could contain it.
I think you're correct. And I think we will yet see something from the Palestinians because they're very aware. All throughout this election campaign, the whole pressure was that the Palestinian issue is irrelevant to the Israelis' concerns. Well, it's time for the wake-up call.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all over the region, the people are rising up saying the people want the end of the regime. Well, the Palestinians will have to... I mean, this end of this regime is not going to come like an apple that falls from the tree. You have to shake the tree, as Che Guevara said, when you're talking about revolution.
Yes, I think we will see this eventuate somewhere. 2013 is already shaping up as a very interesting year.
It's going to be a very, very historic year. I'm absolutely certain about that. Tell me, how's the Mali crusade looking from North America?
Well, it's outrageous. We have this Harper government in Canada, and they've gone from loaning one C-17 Hercules transport aircraft to talking about loaning a second one. They want to gradually insert themselves, as the U.S. will direct them to do, into this morass, but they don't want to tell the Canadian people a thing. It's one of these, participation in imperialist plunder by stealth. And this is a government that is already on the hook. I mean, lots of people in Canada now know that they essentially stole the last election. They needed a so-called majority in order to get certain things through. Now people are beginning to wonder what they really allowed to happen.
What's the stand of the NDP, the left party in the parliament in Canada? What's their stand on the Mali affair?
So far, they have had no stand. In fact, neither the Liberals nor the NDP have said much at all about the Mali situation. Now, in Quebec, you have to understand, listeners need to know, Canada is one of the great diasporas of Algerian refugees and emigres. So this is a very live issue in the province of Quebec.
But the Canadian government misses no opportunity to make war against Muslims abroad. Apparently care less of the fact that there are rather a large number of Muslims in their own country.
Yes, almost a million people now.
Yes. It never ceases to amaze me how this neocon government that you have has reduced itself effectively to an embassy of Israel.
Yeah, this you have this situation where you have a number of key Zionist players who are well ensconced within Canadian politics. They're not necessarily in the government or even in the governing party. One such individual is a man by the name of Erwin Kotler, long-time so-called human rights advocate, international law professor at McGill University, etc., etc., etc. He was involved in the freeing of this Russian mathematician who later became the Israeli minister of colonies in the West Bank, Natan Sharansky.
Yes.
This man, Erwin Kotler, he makes regular visits to Israel. He lectures the military there. All this goes on. He's very much involved in planning the whole attack against the movement for BDS and so forth among the supporters of the Palestinians. And this man is deeply involved in everything the government has done.
He was deeply involved in trying to keep me out of Canada until the Canadian courts proved that Canada, at least for now, is still a country governed by laws, not by here today, gone tomorrow politicians. Gary, I hope, God willing, to be in Vancouver quite soon. I hope we manage to meet up. It's a pleasure talking to you again. Thanks, Gary, in Canada. Let's go to Holland, or the Netherlands, as it's properly known, and Abu Sese on Yemen. Abu Sese, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Welcome, Sergeant Galloway.
Welcome to you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I could get you online because last week I was too late to go online.
Okay, you're welcome. Go on.
Yeah, I just want to go over to Yemen where these drones are happening every day, killing people.
Yes.
It is so important that the world should know what is going wrong and what is happening because they already set eyes on it and they are seeing it, but they give deaf ears to what others are saying. And it is not good for the world to be sitting down looking things like this going wrong. If those drones have been turned to words, I think it should have been better for the world to be a safer place. Now, if we see this attacking are going on every day and night, people are dying. So what souls are we repenting to? And what are we trying to obligate to these people? Are we spreading democracy or are we spreading democracy?
Well, we're spreading a lot of blood. We're spreading a lot of blood, Abu Sese. That's one thing. And that usually leads to further blood. And all these civilians being massacred by these drones. I have a drone, says President Obama. All these innocents who are being slaughtered have families. They have communities. They have societies. They have countries. They have nationalities. They have co-religionists, all being driven mad with rage and anger at this murder. That's what it is, murder from the sky, and not even Prince Harry sitting in the cockpit, just a computer that fires a missile. And as President Obama said, you don't hear them coming. Abu Sese, thanks for the call. Zachary is in Aberdeen, wants to talk about Israel. Zachary, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Galloway, and assalamu alaikum to all Muslim.
Go ahead, sir.
Regarding Myanmar, first of all, I want to say that why United Nations Security Council, they are not acting on the Myanmar on basis of the Article 7 and make a safe zone for them, and then they be there until they can be establish their own government, because this is their country. There are so many hundreds of years they are down there. And this is the legitimacy of statements by the Myanmar government that they are not from this country. It is not accepted by any law.
And no, it's not. But neither is the demand that they should establish their own government the correct demand. These people are Burmese. And the Burmese government has a responsibility towards them. If we start talking about some kind of new independent state for the Rohingya people in Burma, we're doing the Burmese junta a favor. We mustn't do that, Zachary. We must place the responsibility absolutely firmly where it rests. Now, you ask me why the United Nations is not doing anything about it. I'll tell you why, because the big powers in the United Nations are trying to get into bed with the Burmese junta. And that golden girl, the Nobel laureate, who was once everybody's favorite political prisoner, has turned out to be a mere chimera. Let's talk about Ogashua, who's in Nigeria. We want to talk to him about Israel and Mali. I want to talk to Africans about Mali. Ogashua, please tell me what you think.
Yep.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Galloway.
Well, it's evening here, but good morning to you, whichever day it is.
How are you, sir?
By the grace of God, I'm in good form.
How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm in good form, but you better get on because I have a lot of people on the line.
Hello, sir. Okay. It is unfortunate for United Nations. Is it United Nations or United Catastrophic? When I was watching the press TV this morning, I overheard Secretary to the United Nations saying that Palestine are not recognized. After that, and a lady being shot yesterday died in Palestine, and the whole world are watching. Is it United Nations or United Catastrophic?
Well,
is it human rights? Is it for all?
It might as well be the United Colors of Benetton or the United Fruit Company for all the influence it has on world events. There's no point in waiting for Godot. There's no point in waiting for the United Nations. That's just not going to happen. What happens is the big powers, like France's invasion of Mali, by the way, if they know that they will not get their way through the United Nations, they just do it anyway. Sorry, we've lost that line. Sadiq is in Qum, in Iran, wants to talk about what they call Israel. Sadiq, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. First time I want to talk about the Palestinian guy. The Palestinian guy is a Muslim, and now he's a Muslim, and we should help him. I don't know what do the other Muslim in the Arabian country help the Palestinian guy. And after that, after that, I want to talk about the Mali. I think European guys has economic problem, okay? And they can't solve it. So they just attack to another country to give that money and solve their problem.
Well, it'll take a lot more than that, Sadiq, to solve their problems. But thanks for calling us from the holy city of Qum in Iran. Nana is in London. Wants to talk about the same subjects. Nana, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
And to you, sister. Go ahead, please.
Here we are, Mali now, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well,
Knew? Who knew that Timbuktu? When I was a kid, Nana, my mother used to say to me, you'll go from here to Timbuktu. We didn't know where Timbuktu was. Now we're bombing it.
And what an excuse, helping the people against terrorists.
Yes, the same terrorists. If these people in Mali are Al-Qaeda, how come we're supporting them in Syria and bombing them in Mali?
Yeah, things must be clear about Al-Qaeda. It's not an organization. It's a label.
Yes.
That any government, people, party, group, and anyone not bowing and kneeling to the Zionist octopus gets tagged with.
Yeah. And it can also be
French secret services, DSA or whatever, do their dirty job, give it an Al-Qaeda flag, and use the label wherever it suits them.
Well, yes, and then you can get Prince Harry, you see, to say that he was taking out the bad guys. You can call them Al-Qaeda, you can kill them. Nobody knows if they are Al-Qaeda, and nobody knows if the person you killed is the local shopkeeper or a militant fighting to overthrow, in the case of Mali, a military dictatorship which itself came to power by force.
Yes, the bad guys, as if we were in a cartoon, you know, or in a children's thing.
Yes.
Oh, the bad guys, oh, they're bad, they will harm us.
Yes.
NATO,
but he lives in a cartoon, Nana. Prince Harry is an imbecile. He is as thick as two planks. He lives in a cartoon. He boasted that he learned his skills on a PlayStation. He's taking people out of the game. He's not actually cutting people's heads off or sending their blood spilling across the road. He's taking bad guys out of the game. His father must be very ashamed of him.
Out of the HD screen, you know.
Yes.
NATO now stands for North Atlantic Terrorist Organization.
Yes.
Please, that's everybody knows it now. Subservient to the Zionist international mafia.
But don't you think, Nana, that they're getting themselves deeper and deeper? This Foreign Office order to the British citizens in Benghazi this evening to...
They don't seem to be caring about
even bother to pack your suitcase. Leave Benghazi right now. Where next are we going to be leaving? How can this be serving the interests of British citizens?
Don't forget about British citizens. This is my take on this. George Cameron, Holland, and Holland and their followers are doing business to secure their after mandate, like Bush and Blair and Sarkozy did before them. They need a maximum of wars. They need to secure a maximum of commission from the weapon makers and the dealers, to whom the taxpayers' money is presented on a silver plate. They don't even scratch their head. Oh, here's a war. Get your contract. Give you all the money. And after my mandate, give me obscene commissions for consulting, for example.
Well, Nana, you're a great caller. I hope we hear from you regularly. Let's hear from Frederick in Cyprus about Mali. Frederick, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. George. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Frederick. I'm calling from Limassol in Cyprus, Mr. George.
Yes.
I want to talk about Mali because I just can't understand why the rebels are fighting, the Al-Qaeda's are fighting in Syria, and they are backed by the United States and some European countries, Qatar and the Saudi Arabia. And then they are supporting them financially with all their financial support, military support. And in Mali, they are killing the same guy, calling them terrorists. How can we reconcile this?
Well, it's irreconcilable, Frederick. It's irreconcilable. If someone arrived from Mars or Venus this evening and you told them, we're supporting this branch of Al-Qaeda in Syria by giving it money and weapons and diplomatic and political recognition and support, but we're at the very same day, on the same day, in real time, bombing this group of people because they're from a different chapter of Al-Qaeda. If the fighters in Mali are Al-Qaeda, why are we killing them and supporting Al-Qaeda that we ourselves have described as Al-Qaeda, the US itself has described as Al-Qaeda, in Syria? And who says the people in Mali are Al-Qaeda? This is a label, as Nana was just saying, that's hung around their neck to justify killing them. And I have idiots on Twitter and Facebook and so on saying to me that, well, all that Prince Harry said he was doing was killing Taliban. These people have no historic memory. I grew up at a time when the United States government would every night announce that they killed 100, 200, 300, 500 Viet Cong. How did we know they were Viet Cong? Because they were dead and because the Americans had killed them. They were not Viet Cong. They were Vietnamese. And America was killing them because America was occupying Vietnam. The same is true in Mali. That's why the French government has just banned its own media from covering the killing that they're doing in Mali. First, because they don't want to see the atrocities which the Mali military and the Crusader Alliance are almost certainly carrying out. And second, when the war turns ugly and the empire strikes back, they don't want their own public opinion to see the French blood that is being shed. Well, look, I'm going to take a couple of minutes of a break. God willing, I'll be back after the news where we will continue our discussion on Palestine, Mali, Yemen, and anything else that you have in mind. Don't miss it. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation, and it can be the great debate, but only if you join in. 442086014555 is the number to call me. You can SMS on 447800008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, nothing concentrated international attention on the situation of the Palestinian people than the two great unarmed intifadas, uprising, shaking off, when what seemed like the entire Palestinian people rose up and were ready to face any violence that was pointed in their direction by the occupation without themselves ever picking up a weapon. The Palestinian people focused the attention of the world then. Will they now do so again, now that the Israeli government is so precariously hanging by its fingernails on the cliff, when Obama, who hates Netanyahu, can't bear to look at his face, is now in his second and therefore impregnable term, and Netanyahu has the thinnest of electoral mandates, and when, after the success in the United Nations, the Palestinian administration in Ramallah has nothing to lose and everything to gain from the refocusing of international attention on the situation. What about Mali? That's going well, isn't it? Let's hear from Bernard in Birmingham, in England, on Mali. Bernard, welcome.
Yeah, good day, George.
Yes, good day to you. Tell me, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I want to talk about Mali.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we can see now, the what is going on in Mali is not even being shown on the media.
No.
We are not seeing anything on the media.
The journalists have been banned. The journalists have been forbidden.
Yeah. If they are fighting for the people of Mali, at least they should be able to show us what is going on in Mali.
Yeah.
We cannot see anything going on in Mali right now.
Well, the military dictatorship in Mali was yesterday accused in newspapers in Africa and the Middle East of committing atrocities in Mali. And I have no doubt that they are. They are themselves usurpers. They came to power by force. We are now backing them against a group that's challenging them by force. In order to justify it, Bernard, we hang the name Al-Qaeda around their neck and all the usual claptrap about their attitude to women and their attitude to music and so on. Listen, Bernard, my view is this. It's none of my business who's in government in Timbuktu. By definition, Timbuktu, the other end of the world, as my old mother used to imagine. It's not my business who rules in Timbuktu, whether it's the current government, the last government, or the next government. But I'm not going to stay quiet whilst our money in a bankrupt country is used to intervene in other people's civil wars, spill more blood, much of it innocent blood which will later come back to haunt us. That's my view, Bernard.
Well, let's see how it goes, because I can see the UN is doing as if nothing is happening in Mali. They're not even commenting on it. I don't know if the UN is to serve the interests of a particular some particular countries.
Of course it is.
That is it. When it comes to Africa, they do as if nothing is happening. That is normal for France to go to Mali and start to kill civilians, all in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda. Whereas this same Al-Qaeda are in Syria, you are supporting them with money and arms.
Exactly.
It's strange.
We're bombing Al-Qaeda in Mali and giving bombs to Al-Qaeda to blow up churches and slaughter civilians, students in their hundreds. For example, recently at the university in Aleppo, one of the most beautiful historic cities on the earth. Just, it's a kind of madness, Bernard. Let me go to Spain and talk to Tony on the same subject. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead,
Hi,
Tony.
Hello, how are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. I really appreciate the good work you are doing.
Thanks, Tony. Go on.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to talk about Mali, what is going on in Mali right now. It's a shame to African continent.
Indeed it is.
It's a It's a big time shame.
The empire has come back. The empire has come back, Tony.
Country like Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Ghana has been brainwashed into going to Mali to fight unnecessarily. This is very shameful. They're supposed to know that the continent is at stake. The Westerners are all interested in the mineral resources, and that's what they want to only get out of Mali.
That's exactly what they're after, Tony. They're after uranium, gold, oil, gas, and recolonization. If they can get a stable stooge government in countries that have these resources, that will give them for peanuts and will bank the profits, in any case, in Western banks and spend them on Western weapons or gamble them in Western casinos or in Western bordellos, then they'll settle for that. But if they can't get a stable stooge government, they will invade and reoccupy. And the people of Africa should rise up as one and say, no new European colonies in our continent. And I hope that they will do so. Dizam is in Paris. We better hear from him. Dizam, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George, and good evening to all your listeners.
Thank you, sir. How is the Mali crusade looking from the streets of Paris?
Well, we are witnessing once again the bestiality of imperialism. This mafia has been working, they've been preparing this war for a long time. And the war in Libya was a step to go there. They've been working on two levels. The French, they supported the coup and they put the president that was in their favor. And the Qataris, they've been arming and financing the terrorists to go there. And we are aware in Algeria. Excuse me, George, if I may speak about Algeria because I'm Algerian.
Yes, go ahead. It's the same, story. It's North Africa and the Maghreb.
Yes. First of all, I would like to express my sympathy to all the families of the British citizens who died in Algeria.
Thank you.
But I'd like to say something. In Algeria, we consider this as an international aggression by the international terrorism led by Qatar. And we consider ourselves, and we stand strongly behind our institution, military.
Okay, we lost him. Dizam, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ahmed in Tehran on Yemen, the drones. Ahmed, welcome. We lost him too. We're talking about drone attacks on Pakistan, on Afghanistan, on Yemen. And I've even smuggled in the issue of the prince, apparently of royal blood, Prince Harry, who's been all over the British media boasting that he's been killing people in Afghanistan. Not the wisest move. When they were involved in blood sports, killing dumb animals who couldn't fight them back, that was controversial in Britain. Now that the royals are telling us that they're serial killers, I'm not sure that's the wisest move, especially when the boast is being made by a man once famous for dressing up in a Nazi uniform and later famous for taking off, well, not just the Nazi uniform, but all his clothes, and posing for pictures playing naked billiards, all the while receiving a handsome stipend from the UK taxpayer. I'm not sure that's the kind of image the British royal family really wants to have. We're talking about the situation that has now occurred in Palestine, where the usurper government that they call Israel now hangs by a thread, and the peacock, belligerent buffoon, Netanyahu, he of the dramatic comb-over, who was forever threatening someone else, threatening today Iran, threatening the Palestinians, going to pave the whole of the West Bank. Now he doesn't have a majority to fix the price of a loaf of bread. Moreover, Obama, whom he tried so hard to destroy, is now impregnable in a second term. That puts so-called Israel in a very, very weak position, thus putting the Palestinians in a very powerful one. Will they seize the moment? Is it time for a third unarmed, peaceful uprising by the Palestinian people under occupation? I think so. We'll hear from them, I have no doubt, in due course. Mustafa is in Nigeria, wants to talk about that very subject. Mustafa, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Tadjo Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
It's my pleasure speaking to you this evening. I just want to want the whole world to rise in condemnation of this Israeli atrocities, the imperialism, terrorism, and occupation. And the U.S., the most painful part of it is that the U.S. continue to give them military and financial support, which is very bad, with taxpayers' money. So it's so painful when we have people who have no reason. They cancel the problem within themselves, and they continue to support the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. But in summary of everything, I hope one day, I hope and I pray that Israel will pay for all the crimes they have committed over 65 years ago.
In this life, or in this life or in the next. Mustafa, thanks for that call from Nigeria. Shahid's on the line from London about Yemen and the drones. Shahid, welcome back to the show. Shahid, are you there?
Yeah, hello, hello. Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say about, you know, the drone assassinations that are taking place all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, George, people need to wake up to the fact that there's flying machines. If we have to close our eyes and think for 1 minute, there's these machines that are flying over people's heads and dropping bombs without even giving them a chance to explain, you know, why they've been killed,
or even knowing who they are, Shahid. How can they know who they are?
Also, I understand that a lot of the people's families and innocent people that are standing, and I'm not sure if this is the thing, but I heard that they can't even put them in like a court, their family. Like, you know the case about Al-Laki? Apparently after that he was a US citizen, and after that they assassinated his 16-year-old son.
Well, look, there was Shahid, there was one just 3 days ago. I read it in the International Herald Tribune. The United States, without a blush, stated that 20 people had been killed in a drone attack, and at least 4 of them were Taliban militants. And as everyone responded immediately on the internet, what about the other 16? You're just admitting that you killed 16 innocent people to kill 4 people you say are guilty people. It's unbelievable, Shahid. Thanks for the call. Mehdi's in Tehran, wants to talk about Israel-Palestine. Mehdi, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi, go ahead quickly.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I want to talk about Palestine.
Yes.
I think something happened in our world, and that is, we used to hear bad news from Palestine. Mm. Every day we understand that someone killed in Palestine, and who's killed? I don't know how many women and children were killed in recent years. I don't know who's responsible for this. Israel leader or Zionist troops or Western, especially United States. But I know something. Most of people who claim caring about human rights are lying. Thank you.
Thank you, Mehdi in Tehran, for that trenchant point of view. Of course, the Israeli leaders are responsible. Of course, the individual armed gangs that they call the Israel Defense Force are culpable. But what share of the responsibility rests with the governments of the Muslim countries? This Ummah of 1.7 billion people, how many men does it have under arms? How many navies and air forces? How many rockets? How many trillions of pounds are they in possession of? And what are they doing to defend the Palestinian people? What responsibility lies with them? Felicia is in Germany, wants to talk about Mali. Felicia, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you, George. And by the way, you look really good, and thanks for doing the show.
Thanks so much, I appreciate that.
Yes. Yes, I would like to talk about Mali. And the problem is that there are so many different subjects that we could talk about.
Indeed.
Like every single thing that you just mentioned, every single thing that everyone commented on. Even me, as an ex-American soldier, is a person that's saying it's completely ridiculous. Completely ridiculous what we've gotten ourselves into, what we're walking around with big, beautiful smiles on our faces, shaking hands, pretending we want peace in the world, and we don't at all. 4 years ago, I was in America, and I voted for Obama. I worked on the campaign, and I really, really thought that maybe things had come to an end and that we're going to change things. And now I see. I sit here in Germany. I watch Press TV. Thank God we still get Press TV in Germany. In America, obviously, I think the American government is trying to start banning Iranian TV, put sanctions on Iranian television so that that Americans are not allowed to see these television shows. But I am an American person, citizen, sitting here in Germany, watching what's going on all over the world, and I have tears in my eyes on a daily basis because I can't believe what we have come to. It's bad enough what happened with Vietnam. It's bad enough what happened with everything else in the world. But the worst thing in the world, you already mentioned it, is when Obama dropped the drones, mentioned the dropping of the drones, and with really a cold eye said they can't hear them coming.
No.
They can't see them coming, and it's just unbelievable that I have to say as an American citizen that it's just a crying shame. And as far as Mali goes, well, just like you said, or just like one of your callers said, it what happened is that the they went into Libya. They went into Libya, and the Malians decided, or the people decided, they were going to take the weapons, and then they were going to defend themselves over there. It was bound to happen. We are the ones that start all of these things. We are the ones that pay all these tyrants, give them the money, give them a reason to want to stand up against something, blow everyone up that's not saying anything that we want them to say, and then get angry and want to attack when they don't do what we tell them to. And about Netanyahu, you're 100% right, 100% right. Here in Germany, if any time that you say anything against anyone that's Jewish, then you're supposed to be anti-Semitic. So the Germans don't say anything, but I do. I do it loudly. I'm proud that you do it.
Well, yes, especially, Felicia, as we have nothing at all against Jews. Some
exactly.
of the best people in the world are on our side in this argument and are Jews. People
exactly.
like Noam Chomsky are amongst the greatest humans alive today, and they are Jewish, Professor Finkelstein, and many, many others. It's not about Jewishness, it's about the racist ideology of Zionism. To be anti-German because the Germans once had a fascist regime would be simply absurd, and no one would suggest it, that because we're against Nazi fascism, that we hate Germans. And equally, the same is true about the Zionist state of Israel. Felicia, that was a truly extraordinary call and brilliantly eloquent and articulate. And I do hope that we'll hear from you in Germany again. Former US soldier Felicia in Germany on Mali. Hamad is now on the line from Nigeria, but on the same subject, Mali. Hamad, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
I want to advise my African people going to Mali to fight there. If they think they are trying to solve the problem, I'm sure they are making a very big mistake, because the same people that they are fighting, eventually, if care is not taken, these people are not going to leave things to go free. I'm sure things are going to be worse in their own country. What they are supposed to do is at least let them go on dialogue initially, but not going there to fight innocent people that don't know anything that is happening, because they are going to destroy a lot of houses, children, like what we are seeing in most of the countries like Afghanistan, Libya, and other countries. They are making a very, very big mistake.
I believe that, Hamad. And I wonder if the people, Hamad, I wonder if the people in Nigeria are seized of the fact that they might be next. It might only be a matter of time before Nigeria is recolonized and divided, and the fake agenda being imposed, being a sectarian one. Muslims, Christians can't live together, must separate them, have to secure the oil and gas in Nigeria. Is that discussed at all in Nigeria?
Of course, that is a target, George. That is a target in most cases. I'm sure that is what they are targeting. But if Nigerian government didn't make any serious action on it, it is going to fall back on it, I'm sure.
Hamad, thanks for that call in Nigeria. Must press on because I want to take some more calls in the 3 minutes that are left to me, if I can, that is. We're talking about the drone attacks on Pakistan, on Yemen today, and on Afghanistan itself, of course. Talking about the extraordinary statements of Prince Harry, the son of the late Princess Diana and Prince Charles, who has recently been boasting in the British media that he's been taking out bad guys in Afghanistan. Waited, of course, until he was back home in England before he made the boast. Mohammed is in Somalia, where they know a thing or two about drone attacks. They know a thing or two about foreign intervention. He wants to talk about Mali. Mohammed, you're the last caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. George Galloway, and thank you to all the people who stand for justice around the world who are listening to you.
Thank you.
Well, it's not, yeah, we know a lot about these drone attacks, and right now, as I'm speaking to you, we have a lot of drones. We even hear this roaming sounds, even. They are down so close. And to tell you, the issue is so grave that even they are causing collisions, air traffic collisions in the local planes. In fact, the AMISOM people have wrote a report, written report, complaining about these drones causing air traffic problems. You see, George, this is how grave the issue is. And to the other issue about Mali, if I may proceed, it's these people, what they're causing, the bloodshed and all this suffering they're causing, it will turn back to them eventually. And I'm here just to pass one message to the French and the Americans and all people who are participating in this bloodshed and sucking the blood of innocent people, especially Muslims, is that the wicked shall rule the earth, and the meek and the injustice people like French government and so on, they shall get their reward in later on. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Thank you, Mohammed. All the way from Somalia, where they have suffered foreign intervention, invasion, occupation, drone attacks, sectarian division, and the whole of the gamut of imperial policy of divide and rule. Still finding it in his heart to speak up for the people of Mali this evening under bombardment and being killed by European soldiers on African soil once again. It's been marvelous. See you next week, God willing.
Hello, just comment your name and location, you left my number. And just make sure your television volume is set to 0.
Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me through this phone number.